at how God works. I cannot express to you how incredible it is to know that God has directed every portion of this service. I don't know how you picked that song, Jeff, but that was... I was thinking about that song as I was even preparing my sermon. And I'll be honest with you folks, I am really struggling this morning because there are things here that I want to say that make me nervous, and I need you to hear my heart on this. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 42. And yes, this is what we're studying on Wednesday nights. So I had something happen to me yesterday that does not happen to me very often. In fact, I think it has happened to me, I know of once, possibly twice, since I've been your pastor. And I'm speaking about the Lord changing my sermon the night before I preach. So I worked really hard this week getting my sermon together, and I believe I had it completed Thursday, something like that. I usually have the sermon, I have to have the sermon idea Monday or Tuesday, otherwise I'm just stressed and I just got to have it ironed out. And I usually have the ideas for several weeks in advance. And I have a series that I was going to start today about being in Christ. And even as I had it done, it just didn't feel right. But I thought, that's what I have. That'll be a good message. And so last night, or yesterday during conference, well, I'll back up a little bit. We've been studying Wednesday nights on Psalms 42, and I felt for some time that I need to use this as a sermon, but I just wasn't sure if that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I was like, Lord, is this such what you want me to do? Don't let me forget it and bring it back, and we'll do it. Well, yesterday at conference, the outline came to me, and like, okay, well, I'll write this down because the Lord probably wants me to use that at some point. And then after conference, if you're like me, after sitting for 7 hours, you want to do something. So I went out and did some excavating at the golf course. You know how that works, right? And did a lot of walking. And on the way home, something happened that solidified that the Lord wanted me to do this morning. And also, I don't think this will upset anyone, but this message won't take my normal 20 or 25 minutes, more like 15 or 20. So some of you that fall asleep at the 18-minute mark, you may be okay. but I do struggle at times like, well, this is too short. Like, well, you know what? If this is what the Lord wants, he can fill in the blanks, and if it needs to be longer, he can tell you stuff later, whatever. So I'm trying to fill in I'm getting off track here, but I felt like this is the Lord wanted, and I was like, okay. So I was driving home, and what I'm going to share with you, I'm very nervous to share because I want you to hear my heart here, but this is what occurred that solidified the call to do this morning. So I feel like I need to share the story. So hear me out, and I'm no way bashing a political candidate, nor am I saying I support them, okay, to be very clear. I'm simply saying this is what happened, this is the object I saw, and it made me think about this. I feel extremely strongly, and it has grown only more strong as time has gone on and the political scene has gotten more chaotic and more intense here recently. But I feel very strongly that I should say no political things from the pulpit. So that's why I'm struggling here, because I don't want to come across that way. And I also don't want to offend anyone, because I know someone likes someone and someone else likes another, and I could say the wrong thing, and oh, you don't like my candidate, so you know how it goes, and I really struggle with that, so I try to be very, very careful. So hopefully you'll hear the heart here in my story, and honestly, what happened, what I saw could have been any political candidate. It just happened with this one. So I was driving home on 416 there, and some of you may have seen it. There's a family, or I'm assuming a family has two banners that hang on their fence and one on either side. And it says, Trump 2020, promises made, promises kept. And I've often wondered, why didn't they take it down? It's 2 years old. Just something I found interesting. Anyhow, as I drove past last night, I saw the sign again, and it read, Trump 20, Promises made, and that was it. Why was that all that was said? The sign was falling off. And this went through my mind when I saw it. What it appeared to me was, and this is me thinking, I didn't talk to them, I don't know this, that these people were holding out hope that this man was going to fix the problems of the world or of their country. And I'm not saying he did a good job or he didn't do a good job. That's not what I'm up here for. That's for you to decide. And like I said, it could have been any candidate that made me think of this, but it looked to me that they were holding out hope that this person would be their fix, or he would fix their problems. But what struck me was when I saw the sign falling, was that somebody's dreams, somebody's hopes were falling apart, literally. It was falling off the fence they hung it on. Now, again, I'm not saying that that was wrong to hang up a sign or supporting a candidate. That's fine. But what went through my mind was how much hope, how much confidence do we place in people, in a man? Even if you think a president or a world leader is doing a great job, they're still human, and they are going to fail you at some point. And this applies to anyone. If we place too much hope, too much faith in a human being, they will let us down. Where are we placing our trust? Where are we placing our hope? Where are we running to when times get tough? And folks, I hope you hear my heart here, and that whole story I shared didn't distract you from the truth I want to share with you. If that happened, please forgive me and just try to put that aside and focus on the scripture I'm going to share with you. But I felt so strongly that scenario just, the Lord just clicked in my mind. This is how you need to address this sermon. Unusual, I know, but that's just the way I felt like it needed to go. But who are we placing our confidence in? Men? Women? Or Jesus? Even good spiritual people are going to let us down. And how many people have you heard of, even in recent years? I think of Ravi Zacharias. What a sad story. I'm pretty sure at some point, I've been here for almost 8 years, I'm pretty sure at some point I've upset each one of you at some point, I think. I'm human. I'm flawed. Not at all, Brian. Maybe I just did. I don't know. Maybe I just clicked it. But we are flawed. We are not going to please everyone all the time. And if we put our confidence in people, we're going to be let down. So I've called this sermon, How Much Do You Need Jesus? How much do you need him? A little bit? A lot? Beyond measure? I think the more we're disappointed with people here on earth, the more we realize we need to place our confidence in Jesus Christ. I'm sure many of you read this verse that we're about to read, and you've probably likely thought the same things I have thought. And if you were here on Wednesday nights, we had discussion on this. And again, I'm sorry, I don't mean to give a double dose, but I just can't get this off my mind. Let's look at Psalms 42, verse 1. Just one verse. As the deer, or hart, as King James Version states it, as the deer pants for the water, for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. As I was studying this for our Wednesday night Bible study, this verse came alive to me in a way that I don't remember Scripture doing for some time. And originally, I thought that this verse meant that the deer was thirsty. Raise your hand if that's what you think this verse means. Oh, come on. Nobody? You know that it's not now because I asked you to raise your hand. Now you're letting me down. The deer was thirsty for a drink. That's what I always thought. And that's what, you know, the song says, which we're going to sing here at the end. Well, I came to find out in studying this that this verse goes so much deeper than that, and it just So powerful. Let's start with the drink first. Water is a source of provision. So if you were like me, you thought that the verse meant the deer needed a drink. It's one way of interpreting a verse, and it's not wrong. It can be applied to our relationship with Jesus very nicely, very well. I love watching deer run. It's just fascinating. I mean, they are incredible. I have seen them jump over and through and past things they shouldn't have gotten through. A friend of mine once told me he saw a deer in full flight, and they can move. Full flight, stretched, out flat, go through a barbed wire fence with two strands right between them. He thought he was going to have sliced deer, but he said went right through it. That being said, all the running and leaping and jumping is sure to make a deer very thirsty, and they need that drink from a fresh water source. How many times have you been thirsty for a drink after working hard or playing a sport real vigorously, and you grab a tall cup of water or your water cooler or Gatorade or something, and you guzzle it like you can't get enough? I've done that so much when I was out working in the hot sun. It's providing the sustenance you need. It's refreshing. It's renewing. There is nothing like cool water. How many times do you feel you thirst after Jesus Christ? I don't think any of us do nearly enough. Have you gotten to the point where you simply can't be without learning more about Him through His Word? Are you thirsting after the things of God? Are you simply satisfied with being a Christian in name and a shallow one at that? Folks, we need to desire Jesus in our lives and desire to grow in Him, just like we desire cool water when we need refreshed. And really, that analogy is lame because we should desire Jesus more than that. So I'll ask you again, are you thirsting after Jesus Christ? Now to the part that was really awesome to me, and I didn't pick up on this before. Water is a source of protection. I've said various times that I like to use Adam Clark's commentary for my study, and if you don't know who Adam Clark is, he wrote the commentary on the entire Bible, started in the late 1700s, and I think he finished it in the early 1800s. But that's quite a feat. And some of his writing is difficult to read because it's Old English, and our vernacular is just hard to wrap our tongues around some of those words. They used a lot more words back then than we did, that's for sure. However, what he shared on this verse opened up this verse in an incredible way to me. And Clark was quoting Tuberville's Art of Veneri, I think it's called, or Veneri, or I'm not sure how that's pronounced, and some of you may have heard of it, but I never did. Apparently it's some book of some sort. But it was written in 1611, and it's super Old English, so I'm going to read it to you. So listen closely, and remember the Old English word for deer is hart, H-A-R-T. The hart is not only fond of feeding near some water for the benefit of drinking, but when he is hard-hunted and nearly spent, he will take to some river or brook, in which, says Tuberville, he will keep as long as his breath will suffer him. Understand that when a hart is spent and sore run, his last refuge is to the water, and he will commonly descend down to the stream and swim in the very midst thereof, for he will take as good heed as he can to touch no boughs or twigs that grow upon the sides of the river, for fear lest the hounds should there take scent of him. And sometimes the hart will lie under the water, all but his nose, and I've seen divers lie so until the hounds have been upon them, before they would rise, for they are constrained to take the water as their last refuge. Now, isn't that awesome? That isn't describing a deer going to the water for a drink, but seeking the water for his last-ditch effort for safety. He's trying to elude those dogs that are after his life. Applying that to our relationship with Jesus Christ, do you realize that we as humans are hunted by Satan? He is trying so hard to keep anyone he can out of heaven. He sends his dogs or his demons to tempt and discourage us to give up if we're a Christian, or to keep us from turning to Jesus at all if we're not a Christian. Satan is a ruthless hunter. What can we do? We can run to the source of protection from the hunter, and that source is Jesus Christ. If we take refuge in him, we won't be captured or taken by Satan. So what are you dealing with in life? Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're simply feeling like life is falling apart and you don't know where to turn and what to do. And we see that all over this world. Fall on Jesus. He's your refuge. He's your safety. He can take you in his arms and protect you from Satan's fiery horde. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you're so discouraged you don't know what to do. Do you know what is happening? Satan is getting his hooks in you. Why do I know that? Because I've experienced it. He is so tricky that way. He can make our emotions cause us to feel and cause us to get to a point where we're so discouraged and we don't catch the fact that it's Satan doing it to us. So what can you do? Run to Jesus. He's your refuge, your safety. He can take you in his arms and protect you from Satan and his fiery horde. Are you afraid because of all the stuff that's going on all around us and in the world and in Europe? What's going to happen? Run to Jesus. Are you discouraged because you have family maybe that doesn't know him? Run to him. Do you have a loved one or maybe yourself personally are struggling with something physical? Run to him. Oh, that doesn't mean the problem's going to go away, but you'll be safe in his arms. To the one whose dreams have fallen apart and all you're left is a tired and broken heart, I can tell by your eyes you think you're on your own, but you're not alone. Have you heard of the one who can calm the raging sea, give sight to the blind, pull the lame up to their feet, with a love so strong that'll never let you go? No, you're not alone. You will be safe in his arms. You will be safe in his arms. It's the hands that hold the world that are holding your heart. This is the promise he makes. He will be with you always. When everything is falling apart, you will be safe in his arms. And then the last thing I want to tell you is water is a source of healing. And since I shared this the other Wednesday night, some of you have shared some of your experiences with me relating to deer. And obviously many of you have a lot of knowledge of deer. And basically it's this way, and I didn't know this, so thank you those of you that shared with me. A deer when wounded will run to the water. Water is cool, water is healing. It's pressure on the wound. Even if a deer is mortally wounded, he will try to run to the water and lay in it, and the water will stop the external bleeding at least. Stephen told me the other day that he's already found dead deer in his pond. Maybe they were hit by a bullet or a car, and they ran to the pond for healing, and they died there. It's instinctive in them. Run to the water for healing. Now I ask you, who do you run to when you need healing? What kind of healing do you need today? Are you suffering? And this applies to us here and anyone watching. Are you suffering from those deep wounds that only sin can cause? You need to run to Jesus for healing. Maybe you strayed from Jesus. Maybe Satan has tempted you to stray and you're wounded by his tricks. Well, run to Jesus for healing. Maybe you're hurting because of something that was done to you. We're so quick to run to other people when we're hurting. And I'm not saying that's wrong. It's a good thing. We need each other. But how many times do we want run to Jesus first? Run to Jesus because he knows what it's like to be hurt by others, and he knows what it's like to give healing. It's through this thing called forgiveness. You won't be able to do it on your own. I know that personally. It's only through him being with you and you running to him for that healing that you'll get the healing that you need. Now, one huge difference between a deer mortally wounded and running to water for healing, and a soul that is mortally wounded and running from Satan for healing, and running to Jesus for that healing. You won't die when you run to Jesus. A deer may die after he lays in the water, but if you run to Jesus, you will have life and have it more abundantly. If you've read the church sign, I put on a portion of John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Do you want that abundant life? Then run to Jesus for healing. I trust you have, but if you haven't, please do. Please run to Jesus. He is the only source of healing that can last forever. If you look at the next verse in the passage, Psalms 42, verse 2, David says he's thirsting for the living God. And Dean made the comment the other Wednesday night that our God is alive. Our God is real. We're not searching for some inanimate object or some deity that people look up to and are gone. Our God is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. You can run to him right now, and he's there waiting. So I beg you today, no matter what your situation is, run to Jesus. Ask yourself, how much do I really need him? Let's pray. Dear God, your word.